I told you at the beginning of the year that God had put on my heart and just praying for the coming year for the church. And one of the big things that he put on my heart was that we needed to resurrect our campus ministry, ministry outreach to the UF and to the Santa Fe campus, because we haven't had that for a couple of years. And a couple days later, I mean, I just really felt strongly about that from the Lord, that we needed to find a way to do that. And I was thinking, wondering how we can do that. And a couple days later, I get an email from Michael Crames saying, I just been praying and the Lord's been showing me we have to resurrect our campus ministry. And he said, I don't want to be one of those people that say we need to do this and is not willing to help. He said, so I'm willing to help, whatever it takes. He said, if you have a leader in place, I'll help them, or I'll even offer to be the leader. And the leadership team, the pastors prayed about it, and we felt like that was God telling us, and we have a lot of confidence in Michael Crames. He's been in this church for 18 years. Since he was, 9 years old, we watched him grow up, go all the way through school. He has our DNA, has a love for the Lord. He's a powerful, mighty man of God. He operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, as you know, we've been working towards that all year. And 2 months ago, we had a special event. The plan that Michael had was that he wants to put a pavilion on our land, the 10 acres on 34th Street, and start having Friday night meetings there, in addition to having stuff going on the campus, but to have like an outing on Friday nights. College students love that kind of thing, have a bonfire, but they want to have a pavilion where they could keep their music equipment, you know, out of the weather. And so we had that great event in July, and we raised exactly what we needed for that pavilion. The pavilion's been ordered. It's going to be here in a few weeks. We're moving toward that. So God's just been using Michael mightily in getting that resurrected. And we were just talking about some things in the lead team meeting a few weeks ago, and Michael, we're talking about what he's going to be sharing with the college group, and he was talking about hearing the voice of God, that college students need to know how to hear the voice of God. And I said, you know what, Michael, all of us need to know how to hear the voice of God. I said, would you share that message with us as the church? And it's going to do two things. Number one, it's going to help every one of us to hear the voice of God. And number two, it kind of gives you an idea of our college ministry and who our leader is, so you can have confidence in him and get his heart for college ministry. So would you welcome Michael Crames this morning as he comes up and brings an awesome message. Love you, man. Love you, man.
Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Hi. How are you guys doing today? Well, you guys look great. Actually, turn to someone next to you and say, you look better than I do today. Some of you didn't say it. Some of you didn't say it. Well, pride, that's what Pastor Bill says. Well, I want to start out by honoring my three pastors. I would like to take this opportunity to do it. Honor Pastor Bill. I've been in the church since I was 12, actually. So I'm actually older than you think I am. I'm 20. If you feel old now, I'm 29. I was 12 when I first came to this service. So, and all those, 17, 18 years I've been in this church, Pastor Bill has just been a solid example of a man of God the whole time. He's never wavered. Let's give a hand to her. I also want to thank Pastor Mike. You've never met someone who never stops talking about the kingdom of God and how to move this church forward. He never stops talking about it. He never stops thinking about it. He's just an amazing friend and a mentor, so I want to honor Pastor Mike. And, of course, I want to honor Pastor Daddy. You guys call him Pastor Carl. I call him Pastor Daddy. Just a great guy. So what am I doing up here? Yeah, Pastor Mike. So what am I doing up here? As Pastor Bill said, we're starting the college ministry, and you guys are getting a sneak peek of a series I'm going to do on hearing the voice of God. So yeah, this is like the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. This is, you're the in crowd. You're going to get this beforehand. So there's no way I can give this whole message series in one day, so I'm going to kind of give you the highlights. But as I said, this message is called How to Hear the Voice of God. Oh, thank you, Dustin. If you guys need message notes, does anyone need message notes? Raise your hand. The ushers will get you message notes. So this, how to hear the voice of God, is one of the most important aspects of Christianity, isn't it? That's what separates Christianity from just being a religion to being a relationship. All right, so a relationship takes communication, right? So what makes Christianity awesome is you have a relationship with your Father in heaven, and he can speak to you. And a lot of people feel like they can't hear the voice of God. I hear that a lot, which I'm going to explain to you. That's not true. You can. But I'm going to give you really practical steps. I have a lot more steps than this that you're going to hear in the college ministry, but I broke it down to four steps. You want to put the next slide up there? Excuse me, four points. And we're going to start with point one is understanding the truth. If you can get this, this will help you hear the voice of God. And the truth is, you can, in fact, hear from God. And I'm going to prove that to you. I'm going to explain the science of how you hear from God, all right? Did you know science and God aren't separate? Did you know they're actually connected? So go with me to, you want to give me the next slide up there? Go with me to Matthew 28:19. It'll be up on the overhead if you don't have your Bible. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So a lot of you have heard this before. We call this the Trinity or the Godhead, the three different aspects of God: God the Father, God the Son, which is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, which is what lives inside of you when you're a Christian. They're triune, they're three in one. That's the nature of God. Three separate things, but also one. Now, human beings are made in God's image. Did you know we are also triune? If you go on to the next slide, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are also three in one. There's your body, which is this, anything you can touch, that's your body. Your soul, which another way that is explained is your mind, your will, and your emotions, the thinking part of you. And then your spirit, which is the eternal part of you. That's the part of you that moves on after you die to either heaven or hell. So, and also this spirit, this is where the Holy Spirit lives when you become a Christian. Now, I know we say we ask Jesus to live in our heart, but if you cut your heart open, there's not a little Jesus sitting inside of there watching TV or something. No, this is my house. Okay. So, no, he lives in your spirit. Okay? So if God literally lives inside of you, you think he can talk to you, don't you think? If people live in your house, they can talk to you, right? Yeah, so you can sometimes hear people living next to you talking as well. Yeah, that happens too. And so yeah, you can hear from God. And I gotta flip my notes over. So God literally lives in your spirit. And some of you have said, "I've never heard from God before." I've heard people say that. He said, "I'm a Christian, but God has never spoke to me." Well, that's not true. If you're a Christian, God has spoken to you at least once in your life when you became a Christian for the first time. You heard God speak then. No one becomes a Christian because they lost an argument. No one becomes a Christian because they looked at the facts and then, it was proven to them. They become a Christian because God spoke to them. So remember that time. Go back to the first time you heard from God and use that as like a key moving forward. What did that sound like? What did that feel like? He's talking to your spirit, not your ears, not your mind. That's something we're not used to hearing, the spirit part of us. So use that. A few weeks ago, Pastor Mike gave a message about practically how to share your faith, and he used the testimony as well. You can't refute your testimony. Your testimony is extremely important in moving forward in your relationship with Christ. So remember that feeling, and that'll help you hear in the Spirit. And I'm going to prove to you one more time that you can, all of you, every single person, can hear the voice of God. If you go to the next slide, Matthew 11:11 says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women," this is Jesus talking, "there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." So Jesus is saying, out of all the people in the Bible, Moses and Elijah, all these things, John the Baptist is the greatest. That's pretty good, right? That's pretty awesome people in the Bible, aren't there? But look what he says next. This is pretty crazy. He says, "But he who is least in the kingdom of God," that's Christians, that's the New Testament he's starting here. "He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So he just said, if you're a Christian, you're better than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist could hear from God, couldn't he? So all of you can, even if you're the worst Christian in the world. You're just terrible. You're still in like the 80th percentile of Christians that's ever lived on the planet, men of God. So that's pretty darn good, right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're pretty darn good. You're pretty darn good. And you look better than me today. All right, did I just prove to you scientifically that you can hear the voice of God? You right? Okay, you're on the same page? All right, let's move on to point number two. What does God sound like? If God spoke to you, would you even know it was him talking? Okay. Go to next scripture, John 10:14. This is Jesus talking again. It says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. So he's the shepherd, we're his sheep. He knows them, and they know him in return. Skip on down to verse 27. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So hearing the voice of God is very, very important. Now, I was a zookeeper before, and I had a coworker who had this weird need for me to not be a Christian for some reason. He always came to me almost every day with some sort of theological debate to try to get me not to believe in God. And he came to me one day, and he looked at me and he said, Michael, if God talked to you and said, I want you to marry a 14-year-old, would you do it? I know what he's doing. He's trying to trap me in a theological conundrum to where I'm sinning if I do what God says to do, but I'm sinning because I'm not listening to God, so there's no way to win, so therefore God's not real. But I heard that, and I looked at him, and I said, well, the question's irrelevant. God would never ask me to do something like that. He goes, well, how do you know? I said, well, I know the guy. You know, I know the guy who wrote the book. I talk to him all the time. So if you want to know what God sounds like, sounds like this. Sounds like your Bible. If God speaks to you, it will never be something that doesn't line up with this. All right, so if you want to know what God sounds like, you got to read this. So what I encourage you to do is read this every day, maybe start with the New Testament, or if you go to our website, we got plans for reading to the Bible, and start asking God to give you a chance to use one of these scriptures in real life, and when you see it move, you won't be able to put this down. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I need more scriptures. Yeah, and you guys aren't going to see me for 3 days. I got to read all of this. You know, it'll get inside of you. You'll get excited about it. And you'll know what God is talking and what... Next question, is God the only thing that talks to you in this world? No, I'm talking to you right now, right? You guys can hear me talking to you. Circumstances talk to you. Past relationships. Food talks to you. You know, when you're hungry, you're thinking about food, right? Edmund says, preach. Is God telling Edmund right now that he wants him to eat a Philly cheesesteak, or is just Edmund hungry? No, Edmund's just hungry right now. So just because you got something in your head doesn't mean it's God. That's what you need this for. Now here's something. The devil can talk to you. You said, ooh, Michael, that's creepy. I don't want to think about that. Not really. He does it all the time. It's just a part of your life. The devil talks all the time. Actually, I got a funny story about the time the devil talked to me. You're like, how can that be funny? Because the devil's stupid. Let me tell you about that. But this is the funny story. I was once a 14-year-old boy, and great start. When I was a 14-year-old boy, I was going on a fishing trip with my dad. And come on. But this time around, I didn't want to go on the fishing trip because we went on a lot of fishing trips, and which were great. But you have to wake up like the crack of dawn, and it's smelly, and sometimes you just don't want to go. And I didn't want to go this time. But my mom came up to me, and she said, "Michael, you're going to go on that boat, and you're going to catch the biggest fish on the boat." And for some reason, I felt something, and I remembered that feeling from when I first got saved, or when first God revealed himself to me. At 14 years old, I could recognize that. It wasn't a voice, an angel didn't come down and smack me in the face or anything like that. It was just a feeling from God that he wants to give me the biggest fish on the boat. So I'm like, okay, I'm going on that. I'm going to believe. I'm going to get the biggest fish on that boat. So the next day we go fishing. About half the day goes by, and I'm believing for that big fish. Little 14-year-old Michael's believing for that big fish. But somebody catches a fish that's huge. It's just a big, not me, someone else catches it. Big fish, and I'm looking at that fish, and I'm like, I don't think I can do better than that. And I felt that feeling again. I was like, wait, no. God told me I'm going to catch the biggest fish on the boat. I'm like, well, what could be bigger than that? And then a specific fish popped into my head, a sailfish. I'm like, all right, I'm believing God for a sailfish. So then the rest of the day, I'm confessing, I'm catching that sailfish. And we were on one of those boats. What's that called when the drag's behind them? The troll boat. Thank you, Dad. You can tell he loves fishing. It's one of those trolling boats where they have the fighting chair where they hook your pole into it because the fish are so big they might pull the pole out of your hand. And everyone takes turns sitting in the fighting chair, and the next fish they catch, they reel it in. When my turn came around, we were catching fish like crazy. We stopped catching fish. I just sat there in that chair for probably 2 hours. No fish, but I'm still believing. And the end of the day rolls around, and they're rolling up the last reels. I'm like, I'm still going to get it. I'm still going to get that sailfish, but the last reel comes up, no sailfish. So obviously I'm disappointed, and I sigh, and I get up, and I start walking back. And then a thought comes in my head that I knew was not my own thought. It said to me, God let you down. Like hit me. God let you down. And I got furious. Not at God. I got furious at what I knew, who put that thought in my head. Because 14-year-old Michael has read this before and knows from this that God does not let you down. So I went, no, devil. I went, God didn't let me down. You let me down. And that actually doesn't make sense because I think about it now because I wasn't trusting anything from the devil. But at the time, it sounded awesome. I was like, did you hear that? I was like, did you hear that bell, devil? Because you just got schooled, you know. And then I continued my verbal beatdown, and I said, okay, maybe I didn't catch the fish. You know, maybe I didn't get it. Maybe I didn't have enough faith. I don't know why I didn't catch this fish, but it wasn't God's fault. So I walked down below deck. I went to the bathroom or something down there, and I walked back up. And I look around, and everyone on the boat is running around frantically. And that's not normally a good sign on a boat when that's happening. I was like, did we hit the rare Florida iceberg? What's going on right now? And I want to find out what's going on. I grab the first person I see. I'm like, hey, what's happening? And he looked at me, and he said, there's a sailfish following our boat. And I went, what? I kid you not, my dad is my witness. Was there a sailfish following our boat? And the story continues from here. I don't have enough time to tell the whole story, but did we catch that sailfish, and was it still my turn to catch it? We put that next slide up there. There we go, Michael. Look at little chubby-cheeked Michael, not this guy, this guy right here. Little chubby-cheeked Michael with his God-given sailfish. So I knew what the devil sounded like. All right, when you feel condemned, when you have that thought, oh, you're not going to make it, you're terrible, this and that, that's not God speaking, is it? No, that's not what God sounds like. The devil pulls you down, God picks you up. You got to know the difference. So God's always speaking to you, constantly. The devil's always speaking to you. You got to know the difference. So when you're sitting there and you know, I've had this before where you feel like you're a failure. You just got to ask yourself, who's talking to me right now? If it's not God, don't listen to it. You know, don't listen to it. Right? Yeah. All right, so let's move on to point number two. Three? Two? Oh, yeah, that was two. Point number three is God speaks to you one step at a time. If you notice, when I was going through that whole sailfish debacle, God never told me I was going to get it at the end of the day, how it was going to come together. He just told me the first step, believe for it. Okay, I believe for it. Now it's a sailfish. Okay, now it's a sailfish. Now I'll resist the devil. Okay, I resisted the devil. Oh, there's the sailfish. You know, he didn't give me the whole picture the whole time. And many times when he tells you that first step, it's uncomfortable. That's how you know it's God, because you'd never think to do that. You might want to write this down. When the devil talks to you, it's temporarily pleasurable, but in the long term brings pain. When God talks to you, it's temporarily uncomfortable, but in the long term brings life. Okay? So, you know, it feels good beating up on yourself at first, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm the worst person ever. I'm terrible. You know, it feels good at first, but then it hurts later. tell you, when the devil tells you the worst person in the world, the worst Christian in the world, you're still better than John the Baptist. So you'd be like, thank you, devil. Yeah, thank you. That's a compliment. I'm doing great. You know. So I've got another story for you that explains the one step at a time. It's one of my favorite stories. As I said, my last job, I was a zookeeper, and we're a small facility. There's like 7 or 8 of us total. And so we had the zookeeping team, which I was on. I took care of giant fruit bats. They had a 6-foot wingspan, really cool animals. And then we had a maintenance team. And one of our maintenance guys, unfortunately, he was having a terrible time. He always told us he loved his wife. His wife was the best thing in the world, but they were having some problems. They had one fight too many, and his wife left him. She went to go live with her mother. And you've never seen a man so destroyed. So he's just blanking his eyes. He's just moping around everywhere. And felt so bad for the guy. And he came in to our morning meeting. He's like, guys, I can't think about it. I don't want to think about it. All I want to do, if I think about it, I'll go crazy. I just got to work. I got to not think about it. Keep moving. And I saw him, and I felt that feeling again. And I know it was God, because it wasn't something I would think to do or want to do. It sounded like the first time I got saved. I had a thought in my head and in my spirit that said, I want you to go out and buy him the movie Fireproof and give it to him. Have you ever seen the movie Fireproof? It's a Christian movie. It's a great movie. Kirk Cameron's the star of it. Very similar story of a relationship, marriage on the rocks, heading towards divorce. And Kirk Cameron's Christian father gives him a book called The Love Dare. It has a dare every day to do a godly thing for your spouse, you know, something sacrificial for them, and expect nothing in return. And he does it, and eventually he gets saved, and eventually it heals the marriage. My first reaction when I see marital problems is not to go buy them a movie and give it to them. So I know it's God speaking to me. But I was uncomfortable, because I was like, God, and this is, we're not having a, I'm not sitting there in the morning meeting talking to the air. People will think I'm crazy. I'm just in my heart and my thoughts. I'm like, God, he just said he doesn't want to think about it. And you want me to give him a movie about it? Do you know it's okay to ask God a question?
Yeah.
It's okay. It's not okay to question God. It's okay to ask God a question. And I was like, you want me to do that? He's like, yeah, I want you to do that. All right. So I go out. I find the movie, which is actually a miracle in itself, finding old movies nowadays. But I find it. I buy it. I give it to him. The next day, I hand it to him. I was like, God wants me to give this to you. It'll help you buy. And I didn't want him to give it back to me, okay? But unfortunately, he did try to give it back to me, which was awkward in front of everyone. He kept coming back. He's like, Mike, thank you, but I can't watch this. It'll kill me if I watch this. But I kept feeling in the spirit, do not let him give that movie back to you. So 3 times, as awkward it was, I'm like, you gotta watch it. You gotta keep it. And finally, on the 3rd time, he said, all right, Michael. I'll watch it, and if I cry my eyes out, I'll send it to her so she can cry her eyes out. I'm like, there you go. That's the thought of it. So he takes it home, and he watches it. I wasn't actually not expecting him to watch it that night, but he did. The next morning, I'm walking to the morning meeting, and he's standing right there, and he says, Mike, can I speak to you? And walks off. I'm like, oh. Oh. I don't know what he's going to do to me. So he's in his office. I walk into his office, and I look at him, and I could not see his eyes. He was crying so hard. Tears are just pouring out of his. Hi. There's a little bug visiting me. I'm a zookeeper. They come to me. But tears are just pouring out of his eyes, and he looks at me and goes, Mike, I watched that movie you gave me. And he said, and that was me. I was the guy in that movie, and my wife, that was the girl in the movie, and he just breaks down crying. He comes up, and he hugs me. And I'm talking, I'm a hug. He hugs me, squeezes the life out of me, and starts crying. My shirt is wet. Not damp. My shirt is wet from the tears pouring out of his face, which, is it on my head? my shirt is wet from the tears pouring down on it. And which is a beautiful moment, but it's also extremely awkward for me because I was raised on the Christian side hug. Okay, so you only hug people from the side. Now this guy, twice my age, is crying all over me and hugging me. I'm like, oh, what's going on? And he looks at me, and his face is like right here. And he says, "Mike, how do I save my marriage?" I'm like, "I don't know. Do you see a ring? Do I look like I'm married?" But, I got to say something. So I'm just, I've got godly parents. I just start saying things from my parents. And I know from the Bible that marriage is a type and shadow of your relationship with Christ. So I start speaking about that, and I start praying over them. And this goes on for about 30 minutes of just manly hugging and crying all over me. And I joke about the awkwardness of it, but what does it take to humble yourself like that to a young man half your age and cry out to God? That's a man right there. So if you're out there watching this message, you're a man. You know who you are. You're a man. And the reason this is one of my favorite stories is I didn't even ask him, guys. He went out on his own and found a church, and he gave his life to the Lord. And I got, yep, there you go. Save that. Praise that. And I went out and bought that book for him from the movie. It's a real book. And he started doing it, and God saved their marriage. He brought them back together, and they did it together. You want to know what God sounds like? That's what God sounds like. God sounds like healed marriages. God sounds like peace. God sounds like sickness being healed. God sounds like the dead being raised. God sounds like this, and this lives on the inside of you. That's who God is. You want? I'm having fun, guys. Yeah. This is great. I hope you're having as much fun listening to me talk as I am talking, because I'm having a blast. Oh, man. Well, I got a few more steps I would like to give you, but I'm running out of time here. I'll give you those steps in the college ministry when you do it. But as you saw from that, God gave me one step at a time, one awkward step at a time, until it became one of the best moments of my life, seeing that man transformed. Right. And you want to know, that's how I know we're going to be in Gainesville by the end of the year. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. God talked to Pastor Bill and to all of us. I mean, we've always been Victory Church of Gainesville from the start, right? If we were a Victory Church of, God said, "You're Victory Church of Micanopy," and we were in Gainesville, we'd have the same problem, wouldn't we? So it's not about the name. By the way, there's not a ton of churches in Florida. There's one church in Florida. And God calls different parts of the church different parts of Florida. And that's our part down there. And God spoke to us after all this time. Pastor Bill heard, and we all heard, that we're going to be in Gainesville by the end of the year. Don't know how, but that was the first step, right? He announced it. He laid out a plan. Go back, get the message, see his plan. We start moving on it. But we know it may be December 31st. But we're going to be in Gainesville by the end of the year. Amen. All right. I want to wrap it up with one last point. And if you get nothing from me today, I want you to get this point. This point is, what does God talk about? If he's going to talk to you, what is he going to be talking about? Another way you could say this is, why does God talk to us? And I guarantee you, if you get this point down, 100% you will hear the voice of God. You got the Michael Crames guarantee. So a couple weeks ago, myself and several other people from the church went to the GROW conference in Birmingham, Alabama at Church of the Highlands. That's the church we learn from. We model ourselves after their structure. And we were going through a leadership intensive for 3 days up there. And the head pastor of the church, Chris Hodges, was speaking to us, and he told us a story that I think really embodies this point. He's got a big family. He's got 5 kids, and the youngest one is autistic. Higher functioning, but he's autistic. And they were having a big family outing. They were going out to eat, having a good time. Extended family was there. And they had a great meal, and they were going to move on and go get some ice cream. So they all went on. They're all happy getting ice cream, but they forgot their youngest son was still in the bathroom, the autistic one. And he comes out, and he doesn't see his family. He's confused. He's scared. He goes off to look for him, and he goes the wrong direction. So that they eventually realize their child is not with them, and Pastor Hodges, Chris Hodges' heart drops. Now, if you're a parent, you can understand that feeling of your child is gone. And, of course, all the worst ideas are going through his head. He's been kidnapped, been killed, all these things. So they all fan out in a desperate search to find their son. And this goes on for 30 minutes. They can't find him. And that doesn't sound like long, but if your son is missing for 30 minutes, that's a lifetime. So he finds a security guard that works in the mall strip there. Or it wasn't a mall, but it was an outside strip there. And he's trying to tell the security guard, I lost my son, can you help me? And the security guard, barely even responsive, just kind of laying against the wall. He's like, did you look the last place you saw him? So that was obviously disappointing to Pastor Hodges. So he's like, I don't have time, I got to keep moving, I got to find my son. And after 30 minutes, he finally finds his son. He sees him way off by a bridge in the distance. And he saw him, he saw his face before his son saw him, and he was scared, he was terrified, tears pouring down his face, which is a very sad thought. But God spoke to him when he saw his son like that. God said, that's how I see my lost children. My children out there hurting and in pain. And that touched him. He realized how selfish his prayers are sometimes. You're like, God, I want this job. I want this and that, this and that. But his son, his children are lost and hurting out there. And he said this didn't happen. But he said in that moment, if his other children had come to him and said, Dad, what's for dinner? He wouldn't have been very happy with them. He said, your son is lost. I don't care about dinner right now. We got to find your son. Your brother. Yeah. The next morning I was praying, we had a prayer service, and I was praying, and I was thinking, and I could see that sad child, and I started crying too. And God spoke to me. He said, that's why you're starting the college ministry. He said, to reach my lost children who are out there, who are hurt. They don't have godly parents. They may have not had any parents at all. They're hurt. They don't know where they are. They don't know what they're doing. I want you to reach them. And he spoke to me, and he said, you know why I gave you that sailfish? It wasn't about sailfish. You're a kid. I was talking to you as a kid. You're not a kid anymore. The same way you believed for that sailfish, I want you to believe for my lost children. We're fishers of men, right? And guys, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bring me and my team. If you want to be on my team, talk to me later. We're going to bring those lost children in, and I'm going to warn you, they're going to be messed up. They're going to have tattoos all over them. They're going to have piercings. They're going to be hurt. Can I ask you guys something? Will you love them?
Yes.
Will you be there for them?
Yes.
Will you be that family they didn't have? Because that's what church is, guys. It's a family. It's a family. You may look at me and like, Michael, I don't have a dad as a pastor. Yeah, you do. He's right there. Yeah, you do. You got a lot of pastor dads up here and brothers and sisters. That's what the family of God is. It's what God designed it to be. There are people hurt out there that didn't have good families. They don't know what they're doing, but this is their good family. So God says, go out there and get them. So if you want to understand one thing today, what I told you is 100% God will speak to you. If you ask God to speak to you about his lost children, you will hear from him. I promise you. Some of you are hearing from him right now, I bet. God's putting names in your head, in your heart. Someone you don't like. You're like, that one, God? Yeah, that one. That one. That's how you know it's God. You don't like that person. Awesome. Well, did you guys enjoy this message today? Tell you what, I enjoyed speaking to you guys, and I want to pray with you today. A couple things, but a lot of people tell me they want to hear from God. Would you mind if I pray for you if you're willing to receive it for God to speak to you? You know, some of you have been having trouble hearing from God lately. Maybe you heard from God in the past, and then suddenly you stopped hearing from God at some point. Well, that's because you're not a kid anymore. God trusts you to the point where he's ready for you to believe for his lost children. And that doesn't mean he's not going to give you things anymore. I'd have to rip out so many pages of the Bible to say that, but it's about you. You come to that point where you realize the Christian life's no longer about you. It's about God. And he'll bless you along the way. Don't worry about that. But if you'd raise your hand and hold him up, I'm going to pray for you that God will give you that blessing of hearing from him. And it's not going to be me. There's nothing special about me. The same spirit that lives in me is the same spirit that lives in you. So if you want to receive that, if you want God to speak to you about his lost children, go ahead and hold your hands up. Keep them up there. I'm going to pray for you. Thank you, Father God. You see these hands. You see their hearts. You see their desires. Lord, I pray you'd honor their bravery and their desire to follow after you. I pray for all these people. You begin to speak to them even now. You're putting names in their hearts. You're putting ideas in their hearts. Speaking to them about your lost children. Put a love in their hearts for those children. And I rebuke the devil off of them right now. You will not take God's words from their heart. Devil, you must be quiet. God is, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in them is greater than he who is in the world. Devil, you have no right to speak to them. Be quiet in Jesus' name. So thank you for these people right now, and I pray you bless them and hear your voice in the name of Jesus. All right, put your hands down. All right, I got another question for you. It's probably the most important question anyone will ever ask you. If you were to die tonight, Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise.